Hello and welcome to the Melrose Place podcast. Hi.
Welcome to the Melrose Place podcast.
I'm Jenny Hill.
I'm Daniel Hill. And we're married, and we thought that we would tackle Melrose Place as a rewatch podcast. Now, I know that that's a tall order because there's like 261 episodes.
I didn't even know that. Oh, my God.
And that's a lot. There's like 7 seasons, and that's a lot to do for a married couple with a 5-month-old. But I think we're going to try to do it.
We're going to try.
We're going to try.
See how it goes.
I'm a little, it's kind of overwhelming to think of, but if you just do it by episode, I think that we can get it done.
We'll get it done.
And you all should know, normally you would think that Jenny would be the one forcing the issue on this, but Melrose Place is near and dear to my heart, I think way more than Jenny. When I was younger, I like the first episode aired July 8th, 1992, and I was 10, so there's no way that I was watching that, but somehow I found it, and one Christmas in 2008, my sister gave me season 1 of Melrose Place, and then Jenny and I moved to LA in 2008, and we didn't have cable, and that was all that we watched for a while.
Yeah, and I had no idea what Melrose Place was about. I mean, I'd heard of it. Dan said he was 10 when it came out originally. I was 7 when it came out originally. So it was a little before my time. And Dan introduced me to the crazy world that is Melrose Place. Now, I think we got through about 3 seasons in 2008,
yeah.
So that was, gosh, 9 years ago now? It's 2017, so 9 years.
But it's crazy because I don't remember anything about it.
We just kind of thought that this could be a fun and crazy, insane series to tackle. So we want to go by episode by episode. We want you guys to watch with us and bask in the glory
That's right. Is
Melrose Place.
And if you're not familiar with the format of a rewatch podcast, basically what we're going to attempt to do is give you a breakdown of each and every episode, recap the episode, maybe dive into some characters. Definitely, I know it gets absolutely insane down the line, so we're going to keep you up to date on who's doing what, the storylines, who's banging who killed who joined a cult. These are just a few little things that I know about this show. So, with that being said, rewatch podcasts, you don't necessarily have to watch the episode before you listen to the podcast.
Or at all, especially how crazy this is going to get. You'll just get a ton of entertainment from just hearing us recap and go over what we think about the episode. So don't feel like you have to do your homework here. We're going to do it for you.
Right. And if you may be thinking, well, I have to buy 7 seasons of Melrose Place to keep up with these guys? No, absolutely not, because the whole series is on Hulu.
Hulu, baby! $8.99 a month!
$8.99 a month. You can watch every single episode with us. So, buy Hulu. Or buy all the DVDs, who cares? But, so, do you wanna get started?
Sure.
Alright, so, the beginning of the episode, this is the pilot episode. And it was directed by Howard Deutsch, written by Darren Star, who is the executive producer, and it originally aired July 8th, 1992.
On CBS?
On Fox.
Oh, it was Fox!
Which is weird, yeah, because it's distributed by CBS now. Like, all my seasons on DVD have CBS stuff all over it.
Oh, I didn't think Fox was around in 92.
No. Yeah. Yeah, they were around. And then let's see here.
Well, I'll just say the first thing that really strikes me about the episode is the opening sequence. Wow.
Oh, the intro?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right at the intro, there is the close-up ass shot of a woman in white denim jeans.
With a hole in the jeans, and she doesn't have any underwear on. I mean, this is like... This is L.A., cutting edge, early right. 90s, lots of acid wash, lots of high-waisted jeans. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a lot of these trends coming back with the fashions now, but, you know, that really cool, like, Saved by the Bell look where that basically makes up the opening sequence for Melrose Place.
It's just a lot of shots of, like, storefronts and snakeskin boots and... buckles and
neon signs are neon everywhere signs
with the soothing sounds of
electric Tim, guitar riffs.
Right, Tim Truman wrote the guitar riff of the Melrose Place theme, and basically I have it starting off as 7:30 a.m.
Yeah, and we go...
Snake Boots just is leaving Melrose Place.
Yeah.
Late at night.
So, we're there at Melrose Place, which is an apartment complex, if you didn't know what the hell it was. And we just see a pair of shoes walk out of a door, sneaking out in the middle of the night, get into a cabin, just drive away. So then, Allison, one of our central characters, wakes up the next day... She says, "Hey, Natalie, your turn to make the coffee."
Right, because they take turns making coffee.
But guess what? Her roommate, Natalie, gone.
Totally gone.
Left in the middle of the night.
So Allison Parker, played by Courtney Thorne Smith, is then frantically trying to figure out what happened to her roommate in the middle of the night.
Her room is ransacked. I mean, Dan and I had an experience very similar to this when we first moved to LA. We lived with this guy named Justin, who we met off of Craigslist. Never, ever, ever move in with someone from Craigslist. And basically, he did the same damn thing to us. Moved out in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that son of a bitch.
Same kind of deal. We try to be respectful of his stuff. We open his door and all you see is like empty hangers hanging off and like old pieces of crap furniture that he didn't want. That's the same thing that Allison is seeing. So she's running around the apartment complex to all of her friends that live there and telling everybody, "Natalie's gone." Runs over to Michael and Jane Mancini. They're a married couple that live right in the apartment complex.
Thomas Calabro and Josie Bissett.
And she lets them know, "Natalie's gone." And she says, "This is the worst thing that's ever happened to me."
Right. And then she says, "How am I going to cover the $400 rent?" Because Melrose Place is like the nicest place in Hollywood that you could ever imagine. And if that were today, that shit would be going for like $1,800 a month. Easy.
Oh, no, dude, easy. Like $3,000 a month. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
So, she's got to find a roommate, basically.
Right. We're setting that up. So, then we meet a couple of the mainstay characters. Rhonda comes on the scene. She's heading off to aerobics class, and she's pretty much your stereotypical cool, pretty, funky black girl who teaches aerobics. And
she's your token black chick who's like, "Hey, y'all.
Hey, girl. Come take my class sometime."
Mm-hmm.
And we meet her. And we meet the Southern belle named Sandy, who talks with an affected speech like this.
And it's hella put on. And I think I'm jumping here, but down the road they make her like drop the accent for sure.
Oh no, that definitely happens.
Yeah. They also go ahead and you know, this is a Darren Star production, so they spun it off by using characters from Beverly Hills 90210. Jenny Garth as Kelly, Brian Austin Green as David, and Donna, Tori Spelling, to basically sort of transition into Melrose Place.
And Dan, I gotta tell you, I'm really... I'm impressed that you know all of these people's, like, characters' names and their actors' names. He's not looking at a cheat sheet or anything. He, like, knows this, like, at the back of his hand.
I have a older sister, Sarah, who should be probably very proud of me at this moment because I credit all of this horrible 10-year-old television I was watching to her. So, and I had a crush on Jenny Garth when I was younger. Kelly was, like, way hot on 90210.
Okay.
Yeah, she's good stuff. But she... Am I jumping ahead?
No, the 90210 kids come... They show up, and we find out that Jake, who is another tenant of Melrose Place...
Played by Grant Cho, who is the hot guy at this point.
He attended
I think Kelly's mother's wedding.
I don't even know. He was her wedding date. And mind you, this guy's got to be in his late 20s, early 30s, and Kelly is in high school.
Yeah, she's still in high school, and she's love struck, and she's gonna go looking for Jake. So I think that they end up going to Shooters at that point.
Well, Billy comes on the scene.
Right.
Now, Billy shows up, and he says...
Played by Andrew Shue.
Oh, yeah, correct. And we find out that Billy met Natalie, who is Allison's roommate at Shooters, the local watering hole where all these guys hang out. And Natalie let him know that she was going to be skipping town and that there would be a vacant apartment. So Allison doesn't know who Billy is, and Billy comes up to her and says that he's in the market for an apartment. He lives in the San Fernando Valley, and he wants to move to Hollywood.
But not only, this isn't just like a, hey, how are you? I'd like to move into your apartment. He kind of abruptly, like, just, like, interjects into her daily life.
Yeah.
Is this where she had the groceries?
I think so.
And she like gets out of her car with groceries and is walking to her apartment at night.
And he accosts her, basically.
And this weirdo, who's like, at this point, he's just some goofball off the street, is like, hey, I know your old roommate and I want to move in. It's like really, really...
From what Billy says, the old roommate Natalie divulged that Allison has an insane dog collection, is claustrophobic, and yells in her sleep. All things that Billy rattles off to say, I don't care about all of those things. I want to be your roommate. Well, Allison is a very straight-laced kind of a character. She is not into having some Joe off the street moving in with her, so she promptly declines and tell him to lose it and just get out of her face.
Right.
Allison is looking for a roommate, so she puts an ad in the paper, and we see all of the candidates that could potentially be her roommate.
Yeah, one of them is a man who, and she's like, oh, I'm clearly looking for a woman. And he's like, well,
I'll be one next week. A punk rock kind of chick that's totally just like...
smoking a cigarette?
The girl with the dragon tattoo, like that's like the girl. Some crazy lady. And like an old woman.
A really old woman. And then one lady who has like mommy issues.
Yeah, so things aren't going well. And she's unable to pay her rent, so she gets an eviction notice. So she's in hot water.
Three-day eviction notice. And 3 days from figuring out she doesn't have a roommate. So I don't know the odds of that happening on like she must have not been paying her rent before, because
I don't know.
You get way more than 3 days to come up with
your, not that your we rent. Know from experience or anything.
Yeah.
That's just what we've heard. But then we go to Shooters.
And that's sort of where they establish Jake as this womanizer. With Sandy, because Sandy's like talking to him and like, you gonna break a heart, Jake?
Just like you broke mine. I'm not gonna let you do me like you did to her.
Right. And Sandy is a bartender at Shooters, which is your typical 90s like rocker bar with
billiards,
like pool tables, and yeah, all that stuff.
So Allison goes to kind of blow off some steam, and just so happens Billy is there playing pool, and it opens on Billy and some random guy with a cowboy hat and an unbuttoned shirt just comes up to Billy and whispers something in his ear.
Yeah, it's very strange. It's like, are y'all friends? Like, did you just meet?
And Allison, finally, I think she's gone through the ringer. She understands that she doesn't have anybody that's going to move in. And she finally asks Billy, hey, are you still interested in moving in?
Right. And then it cuts to Jake?
Yeah, I think so.
So then it cuts to more of the spinoff storyline where Kelly Kapowski.
That's Saved by the Bell.
Sorry.
I know that.
Kelly from 90210 confronts Jake and has an issue with why he's kind of blowing her off now. And Jake is sort of like, I'm the wrong guy for you. I'm too old. And like, you don't know my story.
All I know is that I care for you, Jake. And if you cared for me, you'd give me a chance.
Right. And then this is where she says, like, my favorite line of the episode. Don't you think I'm pretty?
Now, guys.
What's the matter, Jake?
This same conversation is going to happen about 19 more different times.
Right.
Throughout the next two episodes. It's just the same conversation, different day and time.
Right. Allison like agrees to have Billy as a roommate.
Allison walks in to the apartment after Billy has already moved in,
mm-hmm.
and Billy already has his shirt off. So the sexual tension has been established.
Oh, right.
She walks in surprised. Who is this shirtless man in my house? And that's when they set the ground rules.
Right, they set the ground rules. Allison has post-it notes on all of her food items that Billy can't have. And then Billy is basically like, well, what if I get a craving for peanut butter? Like, that's his only worry in the world is what happens when he doesn't have his peanut butter. And she forces the issue and is like, no, you can't use my fucking peanut butter, which is the type of roommate that I would be. But and Billy... And then Billy's argument is, well, I don't take baths. Do you take baths? And she's like, yeah. And then he says, well, baths use more hot water, so I don't want to pay that portion of the rent. So then Allison finally allows him the scoop of peanut butter if he gets a craving, basically.
Now, you're skipping one of my favorite parts of the entire episode.
What?
And that's when we see Jane Mancini waking up her husband, Michael, by sucking on his toes.
What?
How does that? What the fuck?
I just have Jane and Michael mess around.
What?
I have Jane and Michael mess around.
I mean, I am all, hey, you do what makes you happy, but what?
Yeah, episode one. They've only had, like, 1 minute of screen time at that point.
Yeah, and that establishes that Michael is a doctor. I think he works in the ER, but he's...
And Jane, played by Josie Bissett, is, at this point, like, she works at, like, a private clothing store, or she's, like, a designer of some sort.
I think she's both. Yeah. And we also learn that, in addition to being a doctor... Michael is also the property manager of Melrose Place.
Right.
So he's got a...
He's got a lot going on.
Lot on his plate.
He's got a full plate as an on-call doctor with no time and property manager.
Yeah, and then we also learn that Sandy and Rhonda both live together. Sandy, again, is the Southern Belle that's out in L.A. trying to make it big as an actress. And Rhonda is the...
dance class.
Cool, teach dance girl, and they live together. And Sandy says one of my favorite lines... Daytime is just a dress rehearsal. Everything and I mean everything, happens at night.
Right, right, right. Because the talk of Melrose Place at this point is, have you seen Allison's new roommate?
Ooh, who is he?
And did we meet Matt yet?
Well, Matt has popped in, but he just doesn't play a big role. Matt's
played by Doug Savant. He's your token gay character, which I think might have been pretty edgy for 92.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So he's really trailblazing here, because now any kind of show like this has to have a gay character.
Yeah, to be competitive.
And he's established as gay very quickly because he puts his 2 cents in on Billy, and he's like, he's kind of cute.
And Rhonda says, I saw him first.
Right. And Billy's occupation at this point, all we know is...
let's not spoil it.
Okay.
Because it opened... We go back to Billy and Allison's apartment, and Allison hears music coming from Billy's room, and she peers in and sees that Billy is dancing with a mop.
While unpacking things.
Yeah, he's dancing around to this tango, kind of like Latino, like kind of...
Like salsa.
Yeah, salsa music.
That he has playing on his boombox on a cassette.
But let me tell you guys, this guy, it looks like he's having a seizure. I hate to be cruel.
It's very... Clearly
jerky
poorly.
And like what?
It's very awkward.
He's dancing around in his room, and he notices that Allison is standing in the doorway, and then she startles him. And we then learn that Billy is an aspiring writer, but to make ends meet, he is a dance instructor at Arthur Murray, and Allison is a receptionist at an ad agency, which she tries to fancy up. By right. saying she's a conduit of information.
Right. D&D.
Yeah, exactly. So she works for D&D. And we'll go to D&D quite a bit in the upcoming episodes. So Kelly's back on the scene from 90210 looking for Jake. She's left lots of messages. again, Kelly says, "What's right is what you feel. Otherwise, you're just lying to yourself."
Oh, to Jake.
And Jake says, "I hate moral dilemmas." And then that's when Kelly drops, "What's wrong, Jake? Don't you think I'm pretty?
Don't you think I'm pretty?"
And then that's when they make plans for dinner and they have a little makeout session.
Yeah, Jake's like, the pretty line got him. And he's like, okay, he throws her a bone. He's like, all right, well, let's have dinner.
And that takes us to Rhonda's aerobic class.
Right. We go to Rhonda's aerobics class. Everyone is in typical 90s garb that you like, all the workout clothes that you would order now online if you were going to a 90s like party theme party.
A lot of those like thong leotards over bike shorts, a lot of those, and crazy pastel colors.
And there is an amazing close-up shot of the biggest camel toe in the history of mankind.
This was so intentional. It could not have been intentional.
The actor had to feel very uncomfortable.
I mean, she was literally violated by the camera.
Yeah.
She's bent over and you can see everything. I was shocked.
The director, Howard Dutch, was like, yeah, well, why don't you just get up close there?
Yeah, we need a close-up there.
We need to pan into that camel toe. And then... The camera like pans to this really creepy African American man in a Champion teal tank top
with the thinnest mustache I've ever seen,
and his eyes are just leering at, he's directly behind the camel toe, and then his eyes, you think that he's like leering at the woman bent over exposing herself, but he's like oogling Rhonda,
who's the instructor,
teaching the class. Yeah. So the class ends, and somehow he gets Rhonda's towel.
I don't know, but he starts smelling it and running away with it, saying that he never wants to give her towel back because it smells like her sweat.
Yeah.
How weird is that?
Yeah, it's fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
If you, like, gave me your sweaty towel, I'd be like, gross.
Yeah, he's like rubbing it all over his face, like, I'm never giving this towel back to you. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah, so they, at that point, he's like, come on, baby, let's go on a date. And she's like, no, I can't date my students in my class. Because there's some kind of ethics there.
Maybe.
That you can't date your gym participants.
Your aerobic clients.
Yeah, but he finally like sweet talks and he's like, come on, baby, let's just go on a date. Let's go to dinner. And she agrees. And then do we cut to Allison at work?
This is when Moxie started crying, so I couldn't take any more notes.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll take it. I just have a star next to Allison gets propositioned. So, Allison, she's like super late to work and gets to work and like hits her boss's side of the car.
Yeah. So she pulls into a parking spot. I don't know if he's her boss, but he's like a higher up at the ad agency that she works for at D&D. Mm-hmm. And he pulls in. When she opens her car door to exit her car, she dings his car. Yeah. Now he is like your quintessential early 90s douchebag. Like,
is his name Hal?
His name's Hal. And he's
very
like,
douchey name.
He reminds me of you know, the Kirstie Alley's husband in Look Who's Talking. He's like big wig. So yeah. He's like, oh, you've dinged my car, and he's totally mortally offended that she opened her car door and it hit his car.
Yeah, so he's not happy with her, but that he probably sees that as an opening to like get what he wants out of Allison. So he asks her to he tells her about some event in Canyon Country.
Well, no, it was an event that was to
like
advertise a drink called Canyon Country Cooler.
Right.
And we live in Canyon Country, so
there's a lot of tie-ins to where me and Jenny live and in this show.
We felt very special having our town shouted out, but I don't even think they were referring to Canyon Country, because I don't even think Canyon Country was a place like back in 92. I don't think it was like incorporated.
It was founded in 85, Canyon Country.
Okay. So I stand corrected.
It was around.
But they had some ad campaign for Canyon Country Coolers, which I will assume is like the Zima of the show. And Hal asks Allison if she might accompany him to an event that evening where he might introduce her to some of the other bigwigs at D&D.
Right. Now, Allison is basically the receptionist, so she's, like, very hungry to, like, climb the ladder of this corporation, D&D. So she, like, leaps at the opportunity. She's, like, you know, a sheep being led by the wolf, but totally blind of, like, oh, yes, I would love to. Wow, thank you so much for the opportunity. Like total ditzy, like just go with it, but she's setting herself up for failure. Then we've got Rhonda. She's freaking out about what to wear to her date with creepy gym guy.
So that takes her to Jane Mancini's little boutique store, where she is a designer and sells I guess high-end boutique clothes.
Right. And Rhonda like runs into the office and she's like, Jane, please, I need help getting ready for this date, but I don't want to pay for everything, so we got to leave the tags on. And Jane's like, yeah, okay, sure, no problem. She like doesn't bat an eyelash that she's not even trying to pay for the shit. But so they find her something, some black dress, and like she's happy. So that takes us then to back to the spin-off storyline of Donna Martin, Tori Spelling, trying to discourage Kelly from hanging out with Jake because Jake's bad news. He's way old for her, and he's already told her, I don't know, three times that
that they are not good together and that they shouldn't be together.
That it's donezos.
I really want to know what the age gap is, because we're seriously
he's
talking.
He's near 30.
Like, it's seriously like 8 to 12 years age difference.
I think he's playing 30 out of at least out of college. He's over 21.
Oh, for sure. I'd say he's in his late 20s at a minimum.
Yeah, she's probably a junior.
She's in high school.
She's a junior. Yeah, she's got a full 365 in high school. So Donna and David are discouraging her. And then Jake at Burger Place, shaped like a burger.
Oh yeah, where is that place?
I have no idea, but part of this podcast, we're going to go on several locations.
Yeah, we're going to go on adventures, and it's this building that looks like a burger.
It looks like a total hamburger with bun. So we've got Billy. Now I have Billy dancing around with
He does it twice.
Okay. So Billy's back in the apartment dancing around with a mop. The first time he's doing the salsa on the bed.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. And at the apartment, and then Allison catches him again, like with the mop, now doing like a tango, mumba. Is that what you call it?
Where
you
have
like
a mambo?
You have like the rose in your mouth.
That's a tango.
Yeah. So he's tangoing throughout the apartment, and Allison walks in again, and she's like, okay, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, what are you doing? So, Billy has to come clean.
Oh, that's when he reveals that he's a dance teacher at Arthur Murray.
So, he finally has to come clean. He's like, I am...
Not just a writer.
Not just a writer, but I gotta pay the bills, so I'm... he like, sells it as, I'm a dance teacher, but I'm one lesson ahead of the class.
Based on what we've seen with him dancing, I just want to know what maniac hired him to teach other people to dance.
Well, he's a clearly smooth talker. He probably did what he did with Allison and snuck up behind him
at the cost of them in the night.
Yeah,
because I'm kidding. Like, hey. He looks like he's having a seizure. Yeah. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, it's bad. So she's laughing, and he's like, I thought that maybe you could help me teach dance or like learn the steps. And then Allison, in her blue terry cloth robe with yellow stars on it, is like, yeah, I'm never dancing with you, Billy. So that takes us then to Jake and Kelly's date.
Oh my God.
So his idea of dinner is taking her to his local watering hole.
To the local bar.
Which is Shooters. And they get there, and then they're berated by the Southern Belle.
Sandy.
So yeah, Sandy's like, do y'all want Cokes?
Do y'all want chocolate milk? Because you're bringing children into the bar.
And he's like, very funny, Sandy. But yeah, and then we're Kelly's then high school friends.
Her little posse shows up.
Right. Steve and David. Ian Ziering. Steve's played by Ian Ziering.
Oh my gosh.
And David, Brian Austin Green. And is Tori Spelling there too?
Yeah.
Donna's there too.
Oh, they roll deep.
So they all three like just waltz into Shooters. No ID at the door. And they find their way. And they also want alcohol. But they're denied by... They're denied by Sandy, and Jake just looks over at him, and he's like, give him three Cokes.
Is Sandy the only server at this bar?
She's the only person doing work.
I think she's the only person that works there. Because anytime anybody is ordering food or getting a drink, it's only Sandy who serves them.
Mm-hmm. So Jake gets threatened by Steve and David.
Yeah.
And the high school kids walk over to Jake.
Like 16-year-olds to a 30-year-old.
Right. Like Kelly goes somewhere to the bathroom or something. And Steve and David walk over to this 30-year-old man and say, like, there's a lot more where we come from.
And you know what? I have to interject here because this does remind me when Dan and I started dating, this had to have been, like, we've been together for, what, like, 11 years?
Yeah.
And we were in college, and my little sister was dating someone for a really long time, and he must have been, I don't know, 7 years younger than Dan, and Dan came to pick me up for a date one night, and my little sister's boyfriend took Dan aside and was like, "Hey, be careful out there. Precious cargo." Yeah. Right?
Be good to her.
And I thought it was like, very sweet that he thought that he had to let Dan know that he had to be careful with me. But it just was reminiscent of that for me.
But you know what? It worked. Because Jake then leaves Shooters with Kelly and again says, "This will not work. We cannot be together." Okay, so now we are back to Melrose Place. Jane Mancini is all dolled up, and she is, like, waiting her husband's return home.
Mm.
She's got dinner going. She put on, I think, a classic tape of some classical music. Dinner's ready, and she's gonna, like, her whole MO is to, like, reinsert love into their relationship.
And they've only been married for, they said that they met 2 years ago.
Yeah. And, like, yeah, you should still be all whimsical at that point. But Michael comes home and he's just, like, not feeling it. He, like, walks through the door and she's like, "Hey, honey." And he's just like, "Ugh."
Well, fuck Dan, this. Think about it. He is an ER surgeon, yet he is the property manager.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on. He's got a lot on his plate.
Why would I don't even get it. Would he be? He is a freaking, like, doctor.
Yeah.
Yet he manages the property. And then we find Jake is unemployed. Why the hell isn't Jake managing the property?
He really should be at this point.
Yeah, but, agreed.
So anyways, Jane coaxes Michael into entertaining this dinner, and he's finally starting to, like, cool out, and then boom, the telephone rings, and Michael's like, "Don't get it."
Yeah, he says no.
But Jane is like, no, "I'll go get the phone." Comes to find out it's the landlord of Melrose Place. And guess what? Billy's check bounced.
Oh, man.
Billy's first rent check straight up bounced. So Michael stops dinner. He gets right up, waltzes upstairs to Allison and Billy's apartment, bangs on the door. Allison and Billy come to the door. And then Michael says my second favorite quote of the night, "Mr. K is mad. He thinks we're toying with him." Mr. K is the landlord, and he wants that money. So Allison promises that Billy's going to get that money to him tomorrow. The next day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then, Allison, it's the next morning. I think she's on her way to work, and she's met with Jane at the pool, and Jane basically tells her that Billy was up early and already gave them the check. So it shows that Billy's a good guy. He means well. This is really to establish, like, how everyone is friends.
Well, it's all exposition.
Yeah.
We're meeting everybody. We're learning how they're all connected, what their relationships are like.
Yeah, Jake sort of, like, playfully tries to push Allison in the pool and puts her down, and then she in turn just throws Jake into the pool and's like, "Nailed you." This is when the creepy guy at Hal at D&D asks Allison to the party. She accepts. She goes to the party. Well, she accepts that she'll go to the party. Then Rhonda goes on her date. This episode's really about going on dates with creepy guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kelly with Jake, Rhonda with workout guy.
Yeah.
And
Hal and Allison,
yeah.
Rhonda is very excited for her date. She's in the beginning of the episode. She said all she wants to do is meet a good guy So she's thinking that this could be the guy. They're looks like they're almost through with their dinner. They seem to have been having a really good time. And then all of a sudden, the guy brings up some kind of...
Like vitamin?
Vitamin supplement. And said how maybe she should think about selling this vitamin supplement to her class, to her students, and that she can make a killing if she were to get into this business with him.
He basically tries to make her deal drugs to her class.
Yeah, it's like probably one of those pyramid scheme things where, like, hey, buy from me, you'll be under me, but then you can get people under you. Yeah.
He works for, this company later turned into Herbalife. Yeah.
And honestly, it was very sad. I mean, I really felt for Rhonda because...
So, yeah, Rhonda is like all of a sudden realizing that this was all about him trying to get her to sell, push his shit into her class.
And, I mean, it's really sad how he does it. Because after she says, is this why you took me out on this date? He just looks at her and says, you don't want dessert, do you? I mean, how... mean is that?
It's pretty fucked up.
I mean, her poor little face. I was like, I really felt for her in that moment.
It's pretty cold for 92.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah,
for July 8th, 1992. So Rhonda's like completely disappointed. But you know what? It's a good thing she didn't have to pay for that dress. Because she's got the tags. She can just go back to Jane's. And return it.
Yeah.
So she's got that going for her. Okay, so Allison is on her business.
Engagement. We won't call it a date.
Yeah, her business partnership party, fundraiser, whatever, with Hal, her higher up at D&D. And she's getting schmoozed. She's meeting the bigwigs. There's like a pool. They're drinking martinis. And he's just selling her the dream, like, yeah, you're brushing shoulders with heads of the company, blah, blah, blah. So that ends, and now we're into Allison returning from that party.
Yeah, so he picked her up, so he's dropping her off, and he takes her to her door, and he asks if he could come in for a nightcap, and she says no, but he forces his way in.
Yeah, he's like, well, let me see your apartment.
Now, this guy is a definition slime ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, really that, like, really...
brooding.
Yeah.
Not attractive. Receding hairline. Just... like all of the above.
In office space, I'm going to want to have you come in to the office.
What? Yeah. Like, close your eyes and think rapey. And that's him. So he's like, come on, just give me a kiss, Allison. And she's like, no, what are you talking about?
And then he says, Allison, I'm very disappointed. Yeah.
Why do you think I brought you to the party? And then Cue Billy in his boxers.
Running out of his bedroom.
He's pretty much shirtless this whole episode.
Yeah, pretty much.
And he's not the one to be shirtless.
That's what I was going to say. I don't know why they made that choice.
Yeah. They're really trying to sell us this Billy dream of him being like a hottie, but
yeah.
Not buying it.
Yeah. And so Hal says, Allison, you're married?
And he's like, you have a boyfriend or something? And she's like, no, I'm her husband. Who the hell are you? And then he's totally thrown off. But I think he could easily kick Billy's ass, this guy.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it seems like he could. So he's thrown off and like he leaves. And then Allison is pretty upset that she thinks she's going to get fired the next day. But Billy's like, you're good. Don't worry about it. I'm sure you'll be fine. He can't fire you. He tried to rape you. So now we cut to Michael Mancini, the surgeon / property manager of Melrose Place, in his apartment, humming the worst fucking song I've ever heard.
Like, His directions probably said humming to yourself, and he literally is like, sha la la doopy da la 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 loo dee da doo ba da bee dee dee. Shibbidi ba ba da 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 da. I don't know if he was scatting or what, but I mean, Dan and I just looked at each other like, have you ever done that?
Never.
And I am a very musical person. I walk around singing to myself all the time. And that, even for me, was like, what?
If I'm singing and I'm just making it up, I'm putting words to it. Or like the actions of what I'm doing. Like, making some eggs. But not just making noises.
Just scatting.
So he's cooking breakfast for Jane. Jane is very lonely. She needs to let Michael know this. And Michael's like, I'm going to make it better. We're going to work on this. But she's lonely. She doesn't like all the hard work that Mancini's putting in. And now we're close to the end. We're going to end this one at the pool. I think a lot of the episodes end with basically like a pool conference. They end it off with a chicken fight. Just again to like reaffirm that we're all friends here. Like, we all have our own things going on, but we're all part of a family at Melrose Place.
Yeah, and the way that the complex is set up is very indicative of like 1920s architecture, where it's kind of like a courtyard, where inside the courtyard is the pool, and then all the apartments, it's a two-story building, and they surround the pool. So it's like this cool little courtyard, and everyone's grilling, they're playing in the pool, they're chicken fighting.
Yeah, Rhonda's wearing a one piece for a third grader. It's like hanging off her like you know, just like a little kid's swimsuit would. It's not form-fitting or anything. She probably still has the tags on it, or she's...
she's going to return it.
Or she's trying to grow into it. And then Jane's in the pool, and she nearly murders Michael because she, like... Michael's outside of the pool. Jane's in the pool. And then Jane, like, lunges at Michael's ankle and just yanks it to get him into the pool. He could have died. He could have easily died.
But thankfully, he didn't.
Thankfully, he didn't.
Not this episode.
Not this episode. Well, who knows? Who knows what happens? But, you know, then, like, you know, they roll the credits. And from what, you know, Matt is really, like, the lost character in this episode. There's really not much to him at this point. Mm-hmm. And again, the same can be said for Sandy. All we know about her is that she's a waitress who had some sort of relationship with Jake at some point. Now, we want to try to do something with these podcasts and pick our 90s moment of the episode. With mine, I'm going to have to say my 90s moment is Billy dancing with a cassette tape on his boombox. Because there's no one's using cassette tapes today. Nobody.
Based on what we talked about today, what would the title be?
The title for this episode would be, Don't You Think I'm Pretty? Clingy.
I like that. Leave I also alone. Like the idea of creepster date.
Yeah.
I think.
Creepster date.
You brought that up earlier.
There's several different dates.
And if we could work in Canyon Country Cooler somewhere.
Yeah.
Just to give a shout out to our little town.
Shout out to CC. So, you know, this is our first pilot episode of the Melrose Place podcast. It's a little rough, but
a lot of rough.
We'll put some polish on this. We are on Facebook, at Melrose Pod. We're on Instagram, at Melrose Pod. We're on Twitter, at MelrosePod, and you can email us, MelrosePod@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening.
See you soon!